All right, folks, here we go. Another week has come and gone in the NFL. Another critical week in the postseason race. Week 16, another look back. And how about this for Eagles fans? When the season began, there was no way in hell I could, what I'm about to tell you is going to be coming true. This team was supposed to be one of the five worst teams in the NFL. The USA Today picked them to win only three games. They weren't even favorite in their first seven games by Vegas. They weren't even favorite to win their games in their first 7 weeks. They were only 2-5 after seven games, too. And then all of a sudden, here they come. They develop a run game. They dominate. They have dominated a lot of opponents. And here we are. If they win on Sunday against Washington, 49ers take care of their business with Houston. And then on Sunday Night Football, Green Bay beats Minnesota. The Eagles are in the playoffs. And they don't even have to worry about the final week of the regular season. They're in. And that's unbelievable. How much has that mattered to everybody? It's just unbelievable where we're at now as this season gets down to the final few weeks. So obviously your thoughts on another great game, even though it didn't start well, because they struggled with the Giants for the first half, but then they turned it up in the second half, and that was all you had to, and that's all you had to think about there. So your thoughts on this Eagles team and unbelievably where they're at now.
Yeah, well, the start of the game was horrible. And, they can't keep doing the shit where they start the first half and play terrible and try to dig out of their hole. You know, it's just not going to work when you play actual good teams. But once again, they got away with it this week. But overall, like you said, the supposed analysts and experts, nobody expected the Eagles to be that good this year. But they're not really far off from where I expected them to be. I mean, I picked them to win 10 games, and I said 10 games would win the division. Obviously, that's not going to be enough to get to beat Dallas. But they're on the verge of 10 wins, a potential wild card berth here, and they control their own destiny with two games left. And there's at least a 50% chance that they clinch a playoff spot this week. You know, there's the scenario that they need to clinch the playoffs is it's definitely a pretty decent chance that everything happens in their favor this week, which would be nice because then they don't have to worry too much about week 7 or week 18, I should say, against Dallas. They're already in. So hopefully it all works out for them, but for this week. But yeah, they're pretty much right where I expected them to be. And the only thing I would say is, again, they need to be more consistent. And that's one thing that needs to be said by the whole team, not just the player. You know, Jalen Hurts obviously needs to be more consistent, but he's overall, he's played well, especially the second half of the year since they changed the offense around. He might have had a bad game here and there. The one against the Giants is the one that stood out, the first Giants game. But he's played a lot better, and they've got that run game going. The offense, for the most part, when they actually stick to the run, has been one of the best in the NFL. The defense has turned around, and you got to credit the coaching staff, man. They've done a great job of adjusting their scheme to fit what the strengths of their team. And they may have done it a little bit late than we would have liked, but they actually did it, which is something that we can't say about previous coaching staffs like Peterson and Jim Schwartz, and even Andy Reid. And that's big. So you got to give some props to the coaching staff.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I was very uncomfortable with that first half too. But unlike the Washington game, I knew that the Giants had was garbage, and they weren't going to do anything against us. We just had to adjust. And after the halftime, I'm sure whatever Sirianni said or whatever they did worked. They got an interception right off the bat, and that was it. They took off. Boston Scott scored that touchdown, and then everything just came in by then. And like I said, congrats to Lane Johnson, his first ever touchdown. You know, but like I said, I mean, but yeah, these slow starts have to stop. You know. I mean, it was understandable. It was understandable the first against Washington because you were off for 16 days, but it was a short week and you had to get your ass together. And obviously, like I said, you're playing a Giants team that was basically finished, and basically eerily, you're going to be playing another. You're going to be playing a Washington team that's obviously finished after what we saw on Sunday night. And then, like I said, but this team just. Things have to just get better, you know. Things have to get better because when you get into the postseason, you're going to not play an average team. You're going to play a contending team, you know. You can play. You're going to play potentially Tampa Bay, or the Rams, or even the Cowboys. You get behind 10-0, 14-0, and I don't think you're coming back from that. I don't know if this team is capable of coming back from that against those teams. And what they bring to the table. So, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. You know, like I said, hopefully, you know, the circumstances do happen, do work. You know, the circumstances, all the scenarios I just brought up to here at the beginning does come out, and they do make the and they are in the playoffs. So that Dallas game becomes a more of a strategy of what their playoff chances can be in Super Wild Card weekend. But like I said, everything is coming together here. The running game obviously wasn't the best. It wasn't as good as it's been. You know, only 130 yards rushing compared to 170 the previous 7 weeks. But obviously, you know, they're still, you know, like I said, Jalen Hurts is not making dumb mistakes with the ball. At least this week he didn't. He didn't have a turnover. He, you know, he made some interesting throws, so people can really stop questioning his arm strength, you know, because of his size. But obviously, like I said, yeah, this coaching staff, like I said, it's not the same obviously that we were used to, especially last year with Dougie P and Jim Schwartz and all that. This is a team. This is a different coaching staff, a different mentality, and right now it's working. And like I said, I wouldn't be too surprised in the postseason if they make a little noise. I mean, are they good enough to go very far? I'd probably say not this year, but we'll see what happens. But like I said, the goal is to get in. We're not in officially yet. But obviously, if we take care of business with Washington and the other teams take care of their business, then next week we'll have a lot. We'll be very excited to talk about. We'll have a lot more excitement and a lot more to discuss about the postseason in a way.
Yeah, well, going back to the slow starts, you mentioned about they can't get off their slow starts against the Bucks and teams like that. They probably can't make up for it like they can against like the Giants and Redskins. But it's true that you look at earlier in the year against the Bucks and against the Chiefs. And even against the Raiders, you know, they go off to really bad starts. And second half, they tried to lead a comeback and obviously came up short. But, bottom line, when you're going up against playoff teams, you can't start like that and expect to have any chance of winning, you know. So hopefully as we get closer to the playoffs and if the Eagles make the playoffs and when we get there, hopefully they can get off the starts more so resembling games like the Saints and the Broncos, you know, where they really just came out offensive line dominated and they really took it to the other team for four full quarters. So we'll see how that goes, but at the very least, it's nice to see the Eagles in the playoff race with two games left and they got, and like I said, they got a shot to this week even. So it's a good feeling for once.
Yeah, for what we expected this season, I could say you were more high on them than I was. But like I said, our thoughts looking back might have been truth about this team being an overachiever than what everybody thought, you know, because nobody had this team in the postseason. I don't think any of our experts thought they were going to be a postseason team, but they're basically in the wild card now, but they could pretty much put their checks in, the keys into a postseason table, spot at the postseason table by Sunday night. So I'm very happy for them. Let's not congratulate them yet. They're 9-0 yet, but like I said, it's looking more and more like something good's going to come out of it. But like I said, looking back at this past week, I mean, there was a lot of critical matchups, a lot of crazy matchups. But obviously, history was made in the Green Bay-Cleveland game. Aaron Rodgers surpassed the great Brett Favre and now has 445 career touchdowns. Obviously, for his entire career, obviously, but he surpassed what Brett Favre did in Green Bay. But obviously, it comes to his... I know this might be something you may not looking forward to, what I'm about to ask you now, is the fact that when you're looking back at the history of the Green Bay Packers, and there are rumors, and there were some rumors today, that Aaron Rodgers in a press conference is looking at his future and says that after the season, no matter what happens, Super Bowl win or not, he's going to make his decision about what he's going to do. He's not going to waste his time. He's not going to wait till June or August. He says he's going to make his decision very, 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 very quickly when the season is over. But obviously, when looking back, if this is Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay, and comparing to the great Brett Favre, who he replaced, obviously, who is the better quarterback the Packers has ever had? I mean, is what Favre did from 92 to 2007, a Super Bowl victory to another Super Bowl appearance, three consecutive league MVPs, and obviously a lot of success? Or is it Aaron Rodgers, who could be on his way to his fourth MVP, a Super Bowl champion, all-time passer rating, the greatest passer rating of all time? I mean, your thoughts? Who might be the best Green Bay Packer of all time between the two of them?
Yeah, well, I mean, stats-wise, it's hard to say. Even though Aaron Rodgers' stats might be a little bit better, it's hard to say that he was better just based on stats, because obviously Favre played in time when defenses were allowed to do a lot more and it was a lot tougher. But at the same time, the way I look at it, man, it's pretty close between the two. The difference for me is the turnovers. Obviously, Brett Favre was a, I wouldn't say turnover machine, but he wasn't very far off. They, since he was a great quarterback, they instead labeled him as a, quote, gunslinger. But that's just a code word for a guy that turns the ball over a lot, let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers took care of the ball a lot more, a lot better over the course of his career. And he also got a later start, you know. He sat on the bench for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Before he even got a chance to start?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's 3 years of his career taken away. But obviously it helped him because he got a chance to develop, you know, as much as he could from the bench and learn a little bit about the pro game. And obviously once he actually got in the starting lineup, he was great right from the start. So I would go with Aaron Rodgers slightly, but it is a close call.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the only difference is turnovers. Brett Favre had almost 200 more interceptions in his Packer career than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers just does not throw interceptions. He has four this year. Only four. Baker Mayfield threw four on Saturday. So, like I said, I mean, but Brett Favre was a guy that played the game a lot more recklessly. It was a lot more fun to watch. I mean, Brett Favre had a hell of a lot. It was fun watching Brett Favre play because, you know, he fought and he battled. And, you know, like I said, he never missed a game. He willed his team as much as he could. I mean, it's hard to really tell. I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, I can sit there and say Brett Favre has the advantage because he actually took Green Bay to more Super Bowls. But Aaron Rodgers could have more of an advantage because he was much more consistent and they were always bigger threat to contend for championships than even Favre's career was. I mean, Favre, when he was he won three straight MVPs, he was in the NFC Championship game three straight years. And obviously, he had a great run and obviously, you know, but eventually he started to slow down in the last few years. And then he had a terrible year. And then his last year there in 2007, they were on the verge of another Super Bowl appearance. But with Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's some things that I'm a little concerned about is the fact that he only has played in one Super Bowl. Yeah, he won that Super Bowl, but with his talent, and I've said this on this show before in the past, he's a little more, I can't say he's overrated because it's hard to say he's overrated, but compared to what Brady's done and what other quarterbacks of his reputation has done, Peyton Manning's, he should done more. He should have had at least more chances to win a championship than he actually has. And there's the difference. That's obviously the difference. I mean, if you're looking at history, if you're looking at situation, I mean, I can consider them both even. I can consider them both even just because of what, you know, and the fact that they do intertwine because they were teammates for a couple of years as well. So, like I said, it's hard to, this is a hard thing to tell you, to ask you, because just thinking about all the history, you know. Like I said, you know, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if this is the last year for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, you know. But, like I said, we'll see what happens. But it's hard to, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, the bottom line, Rodgers may not be on the same level as Brady, Manning, Elway, Montana, you know, in terms of his career accomplishments, but I wouldn't place Brett Favre on that level either. So those guys are just, they might be Hall of Famers, but they're just a notch below the all-timers.
Yeah. But like I said, it's hard because when you look at, obviously when you look at both of them, they both contribute so much to this league and to the game of football. And obviously that could be a bigger debate when, especially when Aaron Rodgers' career comes to an end, whenever that is. If it's even after this year, he's thinking about retirement himself right now, but you know, we'll have a bigger debate on that down the road. But something to think about here.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we're getting to that part of the season where there's not many games left, and the road to making the playoffs is starting to get interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, you know. So now we're to this part of the year where we call this playoff stocks, and I do this almost every year on this show. At this part of the year, I'm going to give you teams. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell me if their stock is high or low, that you think that they'll actually make the postseason. Now, we'll just get one NFC team. We'll get one NFC team off our backs here because we kind of think they have a chance, but maybe not. That's the Minnesota Vikings. Let's start with them because the others are all AFC. So let's start with the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a no, man. They're not making it. All right, they're going to lose this week to Green Bay, and Kirk Cousins is the loser that I've always said he is. They're not making anything.
All right, here we go, and there's going to be there's a lot of them. The Baltimore Ravens.
Well, the Ravens, well, they lost another one to Cincinnati. In terms of the playoff race, I think they're, what, tied for the seventh seed and on the outside looking in at this point. I think they're going to have a tough time, and they got another tough matchup this week against the Rams. So I think I'm going to say no for them as well.
The Miami Dolphins.
Miami, you know what, man? I don't think so with them. They're right now, they would be the seventh seed if the season ended today, but they got two more tough matchups coming up here. You know, they got Tennessee this week and then the Patriots to close out the season. And the Patriots are in the thick of the division race. The Titans, well, they could actually clinch the division this week with a victory. So they're still trying to get the division. So I'm going to say a no for them.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
This is one where I'm finally going to say yes. I'm going to say the Chargers get in with the seventh seed. They got Denver this week, and then to close out the year, they got the Raiders, who are also sitting there at 8-7. So for me, I'm going to say yes for them.
All right, the last two I'm putting together because they do play each other on Monday Night Football, and it's going to be most likely a playoff eliminator. So, Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so, you know what? I'm going to say no for both of them. It doesn't even matter who wins that one. This is like the playoff eliminator for one of them. But even so, I don't think either of them are making it. Like I said, I'm putting the Chargers in there as the seventh seed. And the way the Colts are playing, and then you got whoever doesn't win the division between Buffalo and New England, those are your three wild card teams there. So both these two teams are out.
Oh, I was going to give you the last one, but you already made your mind up, Las Vegas Raiders, but you don't see them getting in at all. So.
No way, man.
All right. Our week 16 disappointments and surprises. Surprises and disappointments for week 16.
Okay. So, for me, you look back at week 16. Oh, you know, before we get into that, I got to give you a little update on my lock of the weeks here. I'm sitting at 10-6 after I got a victory with the Rams. You know, they were giving up 3 points to Minnesota. They ended up winning by 7. That puts me at 10-6 on the year. With 2 games left, I've already got a lock for a winning record against the spread, and I'm trying to make it even bigger. But yeah, just giving you a little update on that one. So yeah, surprises and disappointments. My disappointment for the week. You know what, man? I'm going to give it to your boys there, Baltimore. They got crushed by Cincinnati earlier in the year. Now they came in with possibly the division on the line, and they got crushed again. I mean, I get that they have backup third-string quarterback and all that, but where's the defense, man? Where's your defense? This is a team that is supposed to always have a great defense, and they suck. I know they got injuries, but, I mean, man, horrible. And they should have a great coaching staff that at least can keep them and help them stay in games. So, yeah, that was bad. That was another bad performance. And then my surprise of the week, you know, should I give it to them? As much as I don't like them, I'll give it to Carson Wentz, man. You know, I praise Jalen Hurts when he has a great game, and I call him out when he doesn't, and I'll do the same with Carson Wentz. He didn't have a great game overall, but he came up big when they needed him to against a tough Cardinals team, and the Colts pulled out the victory in Arizona. So I'm going to give it to Carson Wentz.
Well, my big surprise, my surprise obviously is Miami. I mean, this team was 1-7 and down in the dumps at one point in this season. And somehow, the last since then, they turn it around. They completely turn it around. And right now, if the playoffs started today, they're in a postseason spot. They're in a playoff spot. And like I said, their defense is really good. And I'm led by Xavier Howard, who should have been Defensive Player of the Year last year. Led the league in interceptions a year ago. Not the case this year, but like I said, Tua Tagovailoa, I have to give him a lot of credit. He had injuries, struggled with injuries early in the year, and he waved off the Deshaun Watson rumor. I think when Deshaun Watson, when they turned, that wasn't a rumor, that was a given. That was about, that they were about to pull the trigger on a trade. But when they decided not to, that completely has helped Tua in many, many ways. And he's played very respectable football here in the second half of the season and has put Miami in the hunt to make the postseason. Will they get there? We'll see. They have two very hard games. Like you said, Tennessee this weekend, and then they host New England to finish the year. And obviously that New England game could have big, big, big implications. Big time implications. My disappointment is the Chargers, because they lost to the Texans, and it seems like when they lost to the Chiefs, the way they lost to the Chiefs, and their playoff, like, you're confident they're going to make it, but I don't feel the same way, because even though they had COVID, there was no, you know, Joey Bosa was out, Austin Eckler was out, guys were out. You know, you can't lose to a Houston Texans. You can't lose to them. You're trying to win. You're trying to make the playoffs. And even though, yeah, you lost to the division, that doesn't mean you're in trouble. You're in big, big trouble. But still, you put yourself in a very troubling position. And now this team is basically going to have to scratch and claw to see if they get that 7 seed at the end of the year here in these last few weeks. So, like I said, and one honorable mention of major disappointment goes to the league and NBC. What in the hell were y'all thinking of a Sunday night matchup with Washington and Dallas? This is not 1970s or early 80s when they were both at their best. That game was an absolute crock of shit. I'm sorry, I'm saying it. It was a crock of shit. I've never seen a game that I knew Washington was in big trouble. They knew Washington was in big trouble going into that game. And Dallas absolutely destroyed them, literally and figuratively, to the point where Jonathan Allen was fighting his teammate. We're fist fighting. They were actually about to go brawl. Like I said, that's great news for the Eagles, because this team looks finished. They're done. Washington is done. How they're still in the playoff mix, they're done. They're not getting in, and they're done. They're finished. Dallas just absolutely destroyed them. And that's given everybody a cause to pause. It's given front-running fans a cause to pause. Hey, if we play like this, we're going to win it all. We might actually win it all. Like I said, I don't know if you have anything to say about that game. I know you probably don't, but that's the biggest... That's the biggest black eye of the week.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even waste my time watching that dog shit game. But for some reason, the NFL still has some like weird obsession with the NFC East, even though it's been one of the worst divisions in football for the last, you know, 25 years. They still think it's 1990 for some reason. But, yeah. It's pretty much like that every year. We always get like a Cowboys Redskins, Cowboys Giants, Giants Redskins, and it always ends up being garbage. So, you know, pretty much just as expected when the season started, that there would be a number of garbage NFC East night games.
Yeah, but to be... And what's even worse is Mike Tirico wasn't even on. I thought he wasn't in the studio. I thought he was going to call that game. Al Michaels was going to get a break. No! Al Michaels called that game. Really? Like, seriously. Like I said, shame on the league and shame on NBC. Shame on the league and shame on NBC. You can't. You gotta do better. You gotta do better with your coverage. There's a lot. The AFC has plenty of teams fighting for a postseason spot and a lot of great games left. That's where the focus is gonna be come week 18. The final week of the season will be that. Will be that AFC and how those teams make the postseason. Deal with them. Don't deal with the NFC, because pretty much by the end of Sunday night, the NFC field will be full. And it'll be only about positioning that matters to them in the final week. All right. Like I said, there is no Thursday. We are finished with Thursday night games for the rest of the year. We're done. But we're not done making predictions tonight. The college football playoffs is here this weekend on Friday. And we do this every year, and we're doing this again. We're predicting both matchups. So let's get to the first one. And obviously, like I said, your precious Notre Dame lost to this team. And because of that, they elevate themselves into the postseason, into their playoff thing. Cincinnati, congratulations to them. The first outside Power 5 school in the playoff. So what do they get as a matchup? Alabama. And, oh my God. As much as Cincinnati, as great as they've done, and the head coach has done a great job, like I said, they have to save their prayers because this may get ugly in a hurry. So go ahead with the first matchup. It is the Cotton Bowl. It will be the Cotton Bowl, the first matchup Friday afternoon.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati does have a number of really good players on their team, especially on their defense. But at quarterback, they do have Desmond Ridder, who is considered one of the best quarterbacks in the draft coming out this year, whatever, you know, 2022. But one guy that you should keep an eye on in this game is my guy, one of my favorite guys coming out in this draft, Ahmad Gardner, cornerback. I think the guy's going to be a star in the NFL. He's been great at Cincinnati, and now he's really going to be tested against these Alabama wide receivers. And you know what? I think he's going to be successful. And overall, I think Cincinnati will play tough. And Alabama, you know what? They might be the number one seed, and they might have the name Alabama. They're not some unbeatable team like they have been in, like, last year, for example. You know, they're a beatable team. One thing I will give them credit for is their quarterback. He is a big game guy, and you know they were down and out couple times in recent games, and he's led them to victory. They almost missed the playoffs altogether, but he's come through for them. And for this game, I think it's going to be tight for a while, but I think in the end, Alabama will have some big plays in the fourth quarter, and they'll pull away. So I think Cincinnati is going to show that they belong, though. So I'm going to give the game to Alabama in a close one. Final score,
33-26. You picked Alabama?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you might be confident on Cincinnati, basically because they beat your little school in Notre Dame, and they did it in their house too. So it was nice and cute. Let's be honest. Cincinnati is a nice story. It's a very nice story, and I'm very, very happy that they're in, you know. But Lee Corso, who we all know from College Game Day and a former head coach, was completely anti-Cincinnati. He didn't want them anywhere near this position. He's going to be smiling to the bank to what Alabama is going to do to the Bearcats. Because, unfortunately, let's be honest, Alabama, yeah, they are a much more vulnerable Alabama than they've been in a couple of years. They barely survived that tough SEC. Should have lost to at least, they should have lost to Ole Miss. Should have lost to Auburn. Auburn, how they beat them is a miracle almost. But then they destroyed Georgia. But really, was Georgia playing possum in that game? Knowing that they didn't, knowing that, okay, we don't have, this is not the national championship, but this may very well be, we may very well may see each other again in a few more weeks. So in theory, you're looking at situation where, you know, like I said, Spencer Rither is going to be a top draft pick, probably a top 30 draft pick. You know, he'll obviously, you know, like I said, he's not the top quarterback. He won't be the top quarterback taken in this draft because it's not a quarterback year like this past year was. But obviously, is he a better quarterback than Bryce Young, who damn sure will be a top quarterback when he comes out after next year in 2023. So to me, I say, you know, if this is going to be a game, then Cincinnati's defense, which was good this year, I'll admit it was really good this year, needs to find a way to stop that offense and need to get into Bryce Young's face. But I have a feeling that they won't be able to because they're a mismatch. You're going against the kings of this business and the greatest coach of all time in Nick Saban. You may not think of him as that way, but I do. Remember, he and Belichick, they're homeboys. They know exactly what the hell they're doing. Luke Fickell, great guy. Going to get a good job, maybe, or he'll stay. He'll probably stay there next year because all the college jobs have been taken for next year. But obviously, this is a big moment for him. But I have no confidence in this Cincinnati team. I don't. I think Alabama's going to get, if they don't get on them early, Alabama will, and they will. You wake up in about, by the end of the first quarter, it could be 28-7, and that'll be it. So Alabama's going to roll tide. They're going to roll on Cincinnati. I'll give Cincinnati a little credit. They'll play it tough enough that they won't look like Washington against Dallas this past week, but it's not going to be good enough. Alabama advances to another national championship game, and the final score, 52-30. All right, now the other matchup, and this one could be intriguing. Like I said, there is no locks of the week or intriguing matchups or game of the weeks here. It's college. We're not going to do that for y'all viewers, but like I said, the other matchup, the Orange Bowl. Obviously, Michigan has come a long way this year. They finally came, like Cincinnati, they finally got over the hump. They finally beat Ohio State. And this Michigan team wasn't supposed to be as good as other Michigan teams that Jim Harbaugh's had in his career. But this team plays great defense. They run. They're like the Eagles. They're a great rushing team. They're one of the best rushing teams in the country. Maybe the best rushing team in this Final Four. But they're playing the team that's been the number one team for most of the year, Georgia. Best defense until Alabama exposed them. And great quarterback play, consistent. Mark Richt has done a great job head coaching. Big matchup here. Does Michigan have any chance against Georgia? And hopefully to prevent an all-SEC national championship game, which we've seen before more than once. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, Jim Harbaugh has been highly successful as a head coach pretty much everywhere he's been. And now Michigan is no exception. They're back in they're in the playoffs for the first time. They're back in the national title contender scene. And but they have a tough matchup here. I mean, Georgia, as far as I'm concerned, Georgia is the best team in the country, and it's not even close. They've dominated all year until that Alabama game, and like you said, I think they were in that game. I think they were just trying to not show too much. They were just hanging back, and they were pretty much content just letting Alabama win it, unless they just played out of their minds with a base sort of scheme. And I don't think they really were too worried about that game. They knew they were going to the playoffs, and that's really all that mattered to them. But they are the best team. So with this one, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, I think we're going to be looking at another SEC championship game here in terms of Bama versus Georgia in the championship, the national championship game. So I'm hoping, to me, I'm hoping Cincinnati wins, because as a Notre Dame fan, I hate Michigan, and I don't want to see a full SEC matchup again. So I'm hoping for a Cincinnati-Georgia, but in reality, I think it's going to be Alabama-Georgia. So I'm picking Georgia here, and I'm picking a blowout. Final score is going to be, 42-20.
Well, this one is a little more, I'll give Michigan a little more credit and a little more confidence than I am giving Cincinnati. Like I said, Michigan's come a long, long way this year. They were unranked. They started the season unranked. They weren't considered a top four team in the Big Ten when the season began. Hell, Penn State was supposed to be better than them. But Penn State wet the bed. And literally wet the bed. But let's be honest. I mean, Michigan has done a very good job this year. And they finally got over that hump. Harbaugh finally beat Ohio State. Finally beat them. Thankfully. Because I'm tired of Ohio State. I can't. And I don't even have a favorite college football team. But I do have haters. And Ohio State is one of them. I can't stand that school for whatever reason. But let's be honest. I mean, Georgia has been the best team in the country this year. Their defense is one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. They don't give up a lot of points. They don't. They've held most of their opponents under 10 points in more than half of their games. Mark Richt does a hell of a job. He's a great defensive guy, you know. Obviously, he learned from Nick Saban. He was on his staff for many years. But he's turned Georgia into a team that, like Dabo Swinney did in Clemson, is on the verge of being a power for a while, like Dabo Swinney did in Clemson. But this is going to be tough. I mean, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, Georgia, as good as they are, how are they going to recover from what Alabama did to them in that SEC title game? I think Michigan may have a shot here. I think it's going to be a battle for a while. You know, Michigan is the best rushing team in this tournament, so they're going to run the ball. And obviously, we know that Georgia can stop the run, and they can stop the pass, obviously, because they don't give up many points. But let's be honest, can they actually slow this running offense down? Because they're going to come after them. They're going to come after Georgia. They're going to do what they have to do. But I do agree with you. Georgia is the better team. Obviously, SEC is going to once again rule college football. They're the best conference. Like I said, Big Ten is the second best conference. So obviously, this is supremacy on the line. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think Georgia's going to beat them at the end. But I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout like the other game. I think Michigan's going to hang in there for three quarters. And that's all that matters, that this was a game for most of the way. But I'm going to give it to Georgia at the end. They're the better team. They'll find a way. So Georgia wins a battle. And the final score, 42-27. All right, that's all we have for this episode this week. Like I said, we'll be ready to go here on Sunday for another crazy week. Like I said, could the Eagles actually clinch a playoff spot by Sunday night? And obviously, how does the AFC figure out their playoff situation, which is much more complicated and a lot to still go through here in the next couple, here in these final 2 weeks. So, like I said, a lot to look into. We'll send this out like we always do. And y'all enjoy all night. Enjoy college football. Happy New Year, because this is the last show of 2021. When we come back, it'll be 2022, and we'll be ready to go for that. So, like I said, enjoy the rest of your holidays. Happy New Year. And we'll talk to y'all Sunday.
Yeah, man.